Election education and raising voter awareness are just some of the reasons we bring you In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU. This is Lisa Berry, and this week in our bi-weekly conversation with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, we're talking about how the local league, the state league, and the National League of Women Voters are all related. Our guest is Susan Woolley, Director of Communications for the Ann Arbor organization. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Lisa.
I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of different league members who come from a lot of diverse backgrounds, and I thought it would be nice for you to tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm a CPA. I went into banking and was a commercial lender, and after many years in that role, I retired semi and went to work for the Huron River Watershed Council, which was, by and large, the best job I ever had. Wonderful people to work with.
Giving back to the community in a different way.
They certainly are, and they're a dedicated bunch.
How long have you been a member of the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area?
About 12 years. When I joined because I'd always been aware of the league, and I thought it would be an interesting organization. And I have found so many fabulous women working here on this nonpartisan effort to provide citizens with information to participate in good government. As a friend of mine who's a life member of the league once said, this is where I went to meet the smart women. Uh-huh. And I think that's right. They are dedicated and good ladies.
All right, so share some of that information with us. How are the different leagues organized?
There are three leagues, three levels of league, just like we have three levels of government. There's local, state, and national. And although they have slightly separate organizations, they're all related. And when you belong to one, you belong to all. Membership is in all three.
Obviously, the Ann Arbor is the local league.
That's right. And you see us active in voter registration and candidate forums and all sorts of things going on. The state and the national league are engaged in a variety of activities that go beyond our local activities. They engage in advocacy for issues that the league members have taken positions on. For instance, in 1955, League President Lee testified in Congress against the McCarthy hearings. And then earlier than that, in 1945, the league was invited to be a consultant to the U.S. delegation at the U.N. Charter Conference. The league was one of the first NGOs recognized by the United Nations, and they now have an official observer at the United Nations.
The League of Women Voters.
The League of Women Voters.
Okay,
does.
And what? Tell me some numbers. How many local leagues are there and members?
There are 750 plus leagues in all 50 states. There are better than 300,000 members across the United States. In Michigan, we have 28 leagues, and our Ann Arbor area membership is over 290 and growing.
What was it when you started nearly 12 years ago?
60.
Wow.
There has been a resurgence of interest in government. I think people have recognized the fact that apathy does not pay off. If you want good government, you as a citizen have to be informed and you have to participate. And people are realizing that, and that's terrific.
It's the League of Women Voters, so just women?
No. As a matter of fact, in 1974, the League of Women Voters got smart and recognized that men are good, too. And they were invited to join. And we have many men as members of our organization.
Why the name, though, League of Women Voters? That's just how the history, how it started?
It is. Because the league arose from the women's suffrage movement. And as that was winding down, mm-hmm. as the 19th Amendment was about to be ratified, they realized that there would be millions of women ready to vote and go to the polls. How would they know how to vote, mm-hmm. or how to find out information about voting? So the suffrage movement evolved and became the League of Women Voters. And because suffrage was nationwide and at all levels, those organizations just evolved into League of Women Voters, and it's been growth ever since.
What do the state and the national leagues do that the local leagues don't?
They offer testimony in front of legislatures and Congress. They file lawsuits. For instance, this Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity that was formed shortly after the last presidential election, that commission was going out and requesting information from all the secretaries of state about their voter rolls. The league joined with other organizations and said, now, wait a minute, some of that is information they're obliged to give. But there's information the secretaries have that should not be shared.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sued. The Utah League sued to prevent Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox from producing that information, and other leagues in other states took similar action.
So the league, I know you host a lot of, was it Brews and Views, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have debates currently, but I understand there was a time that the league, the National League, sponsored and hosted presidential debates?
That's right, and that's a very interesting story. In 1976, they sponsored the first presidential debates since 1960, so there'd been a big gap.
Hmm.
And in 1976, they sponsored three debates. They were the first since the Nixon-Kennedy, and they won an Emmy for doing that. And then in 1980, they sponsored two debates. They made the Democrats angry because they wanted to include John Anderson, an independent candidate.
Oh, I remember that.
So Jimmy Carter said he wouldn't participate, and so he dropped out of the first debate. And then in the second debate, he and Reagan debated. And in 1984, they also sponsored presidential debates. But when it came time for the 1988 presidential debate, the parties had recently formed a commission on presidential debates, and they were working with the league to sponsor those debates. But 2 weeks before the first debate, that presidential commission, or commission on presidential debates, came up with a memo of understanding that the league was required to sign that set all sorts of stipulations as to how the event would be managed. For instance, the moderator's script had to be approved by the campaigns. And there was a phone line from each campaign to the TV show producer.
Hmm.
They would dictate TV shots and so on. And this was control that the league was not willing to give up if they were the sponsor. So at the last minute, the league said, we will not be the sponsor. The president, Nancy Newman, said, we have no intention of becoming an accessory to the hoodwinking of the American public. Pretty strong comment. And Walter Cronkite said at the time that the resulting debates were phony, part of an unconscionable fraud. So Walter agreed a little bit, too. Interestingly enough, one Bush campaign source said that the league's action, and this is a quote, guarantees they're out of the debate business for good. They made the mistake of misunderstanding their role. And I think that comment just shows that the candidates didn't understand the league's nonpartisan commitment to educating the voting public about candidates. And keep in mind that the league still directly asks candidates at all levels questions, and we post the answers online at Vote411, and we hold candidate forums for national, state, and local office. So we're still in the business of candidate debates and forums, just not presidential.
And wrapping this up about the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, what is your current mission?
Our current mission is to encourage all citizens to understand the issues, learn about the candidates, and then go and exercise your vote. Remember, your vote is your voice. Don't let it be silenced.
Susan Woolley, Director of Communications for the Ann Arbor Organization, the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of In the Public Interest.
Thanks, Lisa. Thank you for having me.